This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For our own success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and reminds us what is translated as, O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves, worship Allah as He deserves, and do not die except in a state of worship, in a state of submission. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live upon Islam and to die upon Iman. Allahumma ameen. There are countless stories and experiences from many of our community members here and all around the world in which they witnessed loved ones in their last few moments, the last moments of their lives, saying and repeating the shahada, la ilaha illallah, testifying to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon dhikr, upon istighfar. And in their last moments of life, this is what they were upon, and they left this world in a good state. May Allah have mercy on them. There are many other stories, frightening as they are, explicit as they are, in which people were advised, were reminded, and in the last moments of their lives, all you could hear is profanity. All you could hear is music. All you could hear is worldly things, refusing to say La ilaha illallah, refusing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any manner whatsoever. And these are stories we have heard firsthand and have witnessed firsthand as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of those who passed away before us. The reality of La ilaha illallah is a very powerful one. And after the Eid khutbah on Wednesday, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, a number of people came up and they asked more about this concept of depth for La ilaha illallah. What more is there to this statement, the key to Jannah? And there is an entire other angle that we could cover, and I will try to cover briefly inshallah ta'ala today, which is the conditions of La ilaha illallah. For you to say La ilaha illallah, what is the stipulation that comes with it? There are many conditions that the scholars have listed, but I'll mention inshallah ta'ala a number of them today. But before we mention the conditions of La ilaha illallah, it is crucial to note that the concept of La ilaha illallah is a reality that is lived upon. It is experienced in the heart. It is experienced in action. It is the purpose of creation. It is the reason that we breathe. La ilaha illallah is the reason the prophets were sent. 124,000 prophets. Every nation had their prophet. It is the reason that messages, scriptures were sent to people as well, so they could follow the truth. La ilaha illallah is what we want to live upon, die upon. It is the words that we say when there's a newborn and you make the adhan in their ear. This is one of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the words we want to say as we are leaving this world as well. These are the words that people say when they embrace Islam. These are the words that a young Muslim says when they become fully conscious of the reality of Islam. A young college student from one of our communities here in Michigan, he said, my parents raised me Muslim, practicing, and I understood what they taught me. But I didn't fully grasp La ilaha illallah until I was a little older, until I was a late teenager. Once I really understood it, because he started seeking knowledge. He said, once I started studying and learning what La ilaha illallah really meant, I started to experience a happiness, a sweetness, if you will, that I did not understand as a child. La ilaha illallah is building on foundations. To experience it, there has to be a foundation. When else do we use it? We use La ilaha illallah in so many of our adhkar, so many of our supplications. In the morning adhkar, the evening adhkar as well, adhkar al-sabahi wal-masa', you have a number of adi'iya in which you are referencing the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness, such as Sayyidul Istighfar, Allahumma anta Rabbi, La ilaha illa ant, and so on and so forth. In the adhan, in the iqamah, in the prayer itself, in the tashahud, we testify to the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you prepare for salah and you make wudu, there's a dua every Muslim should make. As soon as they finish, you can find this in the famous book, Hisn al-Muslim, Fortress of the Muslim, and all of the other supplications as well. This is right after the wudu. When you go through hardship, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, whoever says this, believe in it, there is going to be relief for them. La ilaha illallah is to ward off laziness. La ilaha illallah is what you say when the promise of Allah is fulfilled in front of you. La ilaha illallah is what we say when we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest dua on Arafah as well. This is the greatest dua every prophet and messenger came with. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And there is a great reward and a great forgiveness and a great protection against the devils for the one who says it 10 times a day, 10 times a morning, in one narration, 100 times in the morning, and as well 10 or 100 times in the evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us consistent. Allahumma ameen. La ilaha illallah. is for you to know that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. For you to negate everything of falsehood, to remove everything from every kind of pedestal, and to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conditions of La ilaha illallah will mention at least 6 or 7 in the time that I have inshallah ta'ala. Number one is the one that we mentioned before. It is the knowledge, the reality. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. To know the reality. And in a very gentle manner, I will say this. If you are not learning at all about Islam, or you've stopped, you think you've gotten to the point where you're done with it, you're too old for it, or you've learned too much, or you're too advanced, or you're too practicing. The reality is, as we learn from the companions, as we learn from many of our scholars and teachers, as we learn from the pious in our communities and around the world, you never stop learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never stop being reminded. You never stop exploring the ocean of Quranic knowledge. You never stop learning about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا. When you know this reality, following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you realize it makes your life easier. And we have access to so many resources today, we have no excuses. There are people who say, I don't know where to learn about Islam. Where do I start learning about the Quran? Where do I start learning the names and attributes of Allah? But somehow, when they need something else, something worldly, something secular, when they want to fix something that's broken in the house, they will find a way online to find their resources. They will find a way to figure out what they need. We have so many resources today, online especially, that we don't have an excuse anymore when it comes to learning. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And it makes your path to Jannah easier, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us. So the first condition is knowledge. And I strongly believe and I recommend every family should have some kind of gathering in which there is some benefit, some knowledge shared with the children. Whether it's a hadith or ayat of the Quran or the seed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every family should raise their children with some kind of gathering in which there is ilm, and everyone will benefit from it inshallah. Number two of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is certainty. To say it knowing that it is true and to believe in it fully. We mentioned this hadith as well, Khutbatul Eid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهُ لَا يَلْقَ اللَّهَ بِهِمَا عَبْدٌ غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِيهِمَا إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. These two statements, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, when you say these two statements and you have no doubt whatsoever, you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state and Allah will guarantee you paradise. There is a man who converted in the state of Michigan, converted from Christianity to Islam. And one of the interesting things that he came across was a hadith in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not only talk about the shahada as we say it regularly, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, but rather the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who bears witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, having no partners whatsoever, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, and that Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, is his slave and messenger, and that he, Jesus, is his word which he communicated to Maryam and his spirit which he sent to her, and that Jannah is true and that hellfire is true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this person to enter Jannah accepting whatever good that he has accomplished. This is an authentic hadith. And it adds this stipulation, this additional part of testifying that Jesus is the messenger of God. Why? Because there were many people who were being exposed to Islam. And of course, as we know, the other largest religion in the world in terms of following, in terms of demographics, is Christianity. Even though many Christians no longer actually believe in their theology, but they are Christian by name. Even though Christianity is decreasing year by year in this country and many countries around the world. Even though many Christians who leave Christianity are finding two different types of pathways, either non-religious whatsoever, atheism and agnosticism, or they are coming towards Islam. And again, these are in a way two opposites. So the one who realizes Jesus is not God, and they find conviction in that belief, and they find Islam, and they submit to the truth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is guaranteeing that they will enter paradise. When you say La ilaha illallah, you say it with certainty. The question many young Muslims will ask, how do I reach a place of certainty? What if there is a doubt? If there is a doubt, remedy the doubt. Don't make it a bigger thing than it is, but ask. Seek knowledge from those who know. Ask the people of knowledge. Don't go to the wrong resources for you to ask about Islam or for you to deal with a doubt. But I will say this. There is no such thing in Islam as a logical challenge that cannot be answered. We don't have a logical problem. There is no such thing. There are emotional issues. There are subjective issues. There are shahawat as well. But when we talk about shubuhats, they are pseudo-intellectual. No matter how convincing a person or a group may be, or may seem in their arguments, in their accusations, in their attacks on Islam. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no logical issue that we cannot respond to in Islam. It is always emotional or a matter of temptations and desires or a matter of arrogance in which no truth is actually being sought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm. Ya muqallib al-qulubi wal-absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Number three is sincerity, ikhlas, and I combine it with sidq, truthfulness. These seem like two separate things, but they are very similar in one sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to worship Him, فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, to worship Him sincerely, and we devote ourselves to Him. Sincerity and sidq, two similar and yet different concepts. One way to think about this on a personal level is who you are when you're home alone, or who you are when no one is watching. Who you are when you're around, let's say, non-Muslims or bad friends. Who are you really? So la ilaha illallah, for this to be sincerely lived upon, is for you to be sincere even when other people are not watching. When you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, you take care of your salah. When you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, you're still acting as you act in public, if not even better. You're seeking out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private. May Allah grant us sincerity. The fourth condition is love, mahabbah. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to prefer Him and to prioritize Allah over all things. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to love what He revealed, even if you don't understand why it's a command in Islam. Even if you don't understand why there is a prohibition, that you love la ilaha illallah, you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you love all of the companions and all of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, those who believe have a more intense, strong love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a brother who was talking about his experience finding Islam. And he was talking to some of the youth in our community, and he said, some of you, the way I see you acting, it's as though you don't appreciate la ilaha illallah. You don't realize what some of us were upon before, what we were looking for. You think that what people are chasing of intoxicants or money or something else, of desires, you think this is the real life, but wallahi, it's not. He said, I was in so much darkness until I became Muslim. And the hadith that I want to reflect on here is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever possesses these three qualities will taste the sweetness of iman. وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. These three situations, amongst others, the first is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be more beloved to you, dearer to you than anything else. Number two is that you love a person, a friend, meaning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only for the sake of Allah. You're not looking for worldly benefits from that friend. No, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you meet and you part for His sake. And number three, that a person would hate to go back to disbelief, to kufr, just as you would hate to be thrown into the fire. For you to absolutely hate it because you've experienced darkness and now you are experiencing light and they are not the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm and sincere. Allahumma ameen. Number five of the conditions is submission. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ يَسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوِثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Whoever submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while doing good, then you have grasped the most trustworthy handle, the truth here. You have grasped what is right. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all matters will return. The reality of submission to Allah is that we do not pick and choose and make a religion that we call Islam that is not actually Islam. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the man who says, I will do everything in Islam but this one thing, I will disobey Allah. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. A woman who says, I will do all of these things, they make sense, say, this doesn't, so I'm not going to obey Allah. But Islam is not about you changing Islam to your desires, to conform to what you want. Rather, you conforming your desires to what Allah has revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in one of the most important commands of the entire Qur'an. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. Enter into as-silm. What is silm? Submission, Islam. And it is the root of Islam. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in its entirety. And do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. The shaytan tricks people one step at a time. He'll make somebody think this is not a big deal, that is not a big deal, that is not a big deal. And years later or months later, they will find themselves in a much different place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us all from these tricks and traps of shaitan. An example of this is a man who said, I want to know the ruling on smoking weed, but don't sugarcoat it for me. He said, don't sugarcoat it for me. He's like, but I understand it's not mentioned in the Quran. Yes, many things are not mentioned in the Quran. That's not how Islam works. The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessitate that every single ruling itself is mentioned in the Quran. No, the principles are mentioned in the Quran. You apply the principles to different situations. And so you cannot harm other people. Does that mean you can drive and harm other people because cars are not mentioned in the Quran? Of course not. So you take what the Quran says of principles, and if you don't know, where do you turn? You turn to the scholars who learn from the Sahaba, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you apply the Quran in everyday life? This is why there is a messenger to clarify. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified how to apply the Quran, and this is why the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so important. So going back to this question, he said, tell me very honestly, with no sugarcoating whatsoever, I've been just struggling with this for many years, I cannot find any proof that smoking weed is haram. It's not in the Quran. He's like, if you tell me it's haram, I'm not going to do it. And if you tell me it's permissible, I'm going to stick to it. I said, okay, first of all, it is prohibited. There's no doubt regarding that. That's a short answer. There's no doubt regarding that. Intoxicants are prohibited. And yes, it is classified as an intoxicant. It is harmful in many ways and so on and so forth, but that's beyond the point. You don't need it to be mentioned in the Quran for you to know that this is something you should avoid. The principles are there. If you don't know the principles, you're going to struggle. You're trying to grasp the wisdom behind a ruling, but you don't know the foundation. When you have a strong foundation in La ilaha illallah, and you have strong love for Allah, then when Allah commands, you follow. When Allah prohibits, you avoid. And this is the reality of sami'na wa ata'na. That, oh Allah, we submit to you. What we hear, we follow. And what is prohibited, we avoid. Now, if you want to learn the wisdoms, you can. You can ask, take classes, learn online series. We have so many resources, alhamdulillah. But don't tell yourself, I will justify committing sin. This young man, what did he do? He said, okay, after explaining all the evidences for it, he said, I don't get it anyway. I'm just going to stick to it until something convinces me. I said, so you weren't looking to submit to the truth. You were looking to justify your desire. Alhamdulillah, years later, he repented from it. But the point is that at times, we do this with other things. This may seem like a matter that is very easy for a lot of people, and it may even seem humorous at times. It's so obvious that it's prohibited in Islam. We don't need somebody to tell us that. But the reality is, many of us fall into similar modes of thinking with other things that we have justified. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make us amongst the people of submission. Allahumma ameen. Number six is acceptance. And while this is obvious, it must be stated that when you say La ilaha illallah, you are accepting of it. La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. It is the statement of success. And finally, number seven, one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is to reject everything that is wrong. To disbelieve in what is called al-taghut, all falsehood. Al-kufru bil-taghut, this is mentioned in the Quran on many occasions. Why is this important? Sometimes people say la ilaha illallah, but they are making severe mistakes when it comes to reforming Islam. They are trying to change foundations of Islam. Today, and I will say this very explicitly, there are many reformist movements that do not have qualifications in studying the Sharia, that do not truly understand Islam. And they are attacking Orthodox Muslims, meaning Sunni Muslims of 2 billion around the world, for holding on to normative Islamic values of morality, of sexuality, of gender, and so on and so forth. And they are trying to change the understanding of the Quran. They try to undermine it, starting with academia, starting with publications, starting with people who have PhDs. And it's a reminder for us, having a PhD does not mean you are pious. Having a degree does not mean you are correct. The reality of La ilaha illallah is that you also reject everything that is wrong. And if you are trying to change La ilaha illallah to accommodate evil and fahsha, you are not accepting of La ilaha illallah in its proper form. Rather, you are changing it to suit your desires or the desires of society, which are subjective and constantly changing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our communities and our children all around the world. Allahumma ameen. When you reject al-taghut, falsehood, you are also in a way sacrificing, cutting off all types of idol worship, including your desires, that you prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is something you are doing today that even your family may not know about, and you know it's wrong, out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submission to Him and acting upon La ilaha illallah and rejecting all that is evil, all that the shaitan will try to call people towards, then leave it, abandon it if you do not want to find it in your record on the Day of Judgment. There is a very common question that arises here. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say The afdalu dhikr, the greatest of supplications, is La ilaha illallah. Why is it this phrase? And we know, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, are also very powerful and very heavy and very rewarding. So why La ilaha illallah? Because this particular dhikr, this supplication, has the potential to reform you internally, to change you internally, to align you internally to that which is correct, to purify the soul and therefore the actions of the human being. You cannot become a human being who reaches their fullest potential without La ilaha illallah, without the proper practice and understanding and implementation and submission to La ilaha illallah. At the end of our lives, these are the words we want to live upon. Whether in your adhan and iqama at home or in the masjid, or in your salah and your wudu and your dua and your adhkar in general, or even on one's deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in his last moments, he's saying, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat, La ilaha illallah. Truly, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught us to remind those who are seemingly on their deathbeds, those who are ill and they may pass away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah." And if you have experienced this before, you know its reality, that you are to remind your loved one, "La ilaha illallah." Now, there is an important reminder here, which is when you remind someone who is passing away to say "La ilaha illallah," it must be gently, and it must not be forcefully, and it must not be repeatedly if they've already said it. There's a famous story about one of the greatest scholars of the early generations, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah. On his deathbed, people were telling him, say La ilaha illallah, so he said it. And then a man started telling him, say it again, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. He started prompting him very aggressively, and he did that a lot. And then Abdullah rahimahullah, the scholar, he said, you're not doing something good, and I worry that you might abuse or annoy a Muslim after me, meaning if you guys continue to do this. When you prompted me, I said La ilaha illallah, then leave me alone, meaning I don't need to keep saying it. But then if I spoke again and said other words, remind me so that it is my last phrase in this world and the last thing that I say. La ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us good news. Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever's last words or La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. When you enter the grave, your soul has left your body. The people have walked away from your grave. They've made dua for you. And the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, come to you. And they ask you, they're going to ask you about the Shahada first and foremost. Who is your Lord and who is the messenger that was sent to you? Who is your Lord and who is the messenger that was sent to you? And this is something we know of and we hear, but we forget at times how linked it is to the Shahada. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ وَنَبِيَّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you respond this way, because you lived upon it in this life, will make it easy for you in the grave. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. La ilaha illallah will be easier for you at the time of death, in the grave, and on the day of judgment. It will be a form of shafa'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to sincerely live upon it and to die upon it as well, and for our loved ones and our descendants as well. Allahumma ameen. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. He is the all-forgiving, the ever merciful. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. If you take La ilaha illallah as your best friend in this world, as your companion in this world, as your salvation in this world, you will find that it is a source of light. It is a type of nur. You will find that it is a type of shifa. It is a type of healing and relief. You will find that it gives you strength in a time of hardship. You will find that it gives you motivation and energy in a time of laziness. You will find that it leads to a type of joy and peace and reassurance in your heart, even when all of humanity has disappointed you or people have abandoned you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to really take it as a companion. If the brothers can please move forward, jazakumullah khairan. The reality of La ilaha illallah is that Allah will protect you, will liberate you, will give you salvation, will elevate you. And the Shahada, if you hold on to it and you do not abandon it here and now, then when you enter your grave, it will not abandon you. Do not abandon La ilaha illallah, and you will find that it will accompany you in your grave and on the day of judgment. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the promise of Allah is always true. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and our loved ones and those who preceded us, and allow us to live upon La ilaha illallah sincerely and completely in its phrase. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to die upon it.